Oh, hello. This is Mina Fisher, Town Guard. The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, visit professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, A Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor and they're dead to us. So head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code professionalcasual at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like order for like paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks.
Looks like Dan froze. Oh, that's not the right document. Hey, my electric casuals. And I was asking Dan if he was ready. I'm not even ready. And welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls, the best old world podcast on the internet. Bam, 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 bam.
Hi.
I'm Taylor, your personal grudge bearer. And with me is the Dan.
It's me. We're here. We're alive.
It's Dan. Hi. The problem, but it is Dan. Anyways, before we get started, I want to send a huge thank you to our beautiful and wonderful patrons who support us over at patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating the thing that I forgot to put here. Anyways, huge special thank you.
That joke once.
I'm going to make that joke every time now. We have our current big sub of bees of X-Paxis, Iron Maze, Tau, and Midi, Dagnama. Dagna. It's not, I didn't said it wrong twice. Brian Mage, Cider Drinker, Kilted Sparky, Kuwaku. See, if it doesn't hurt my throat when I say it, it's not right. Random Guy, Cliff Jumper, Velicenda, Pagan Prince, David Handsome, Andy, Brooks, Chris Dillard, Cord, Bastion, Bangrang, Dravix, and Charon?
I've been saying Chiron. I don't know.
Sharon. Yeah, we had this conversation last time. Anyways, thank you so much, folks. Seriously, it's incredibly helpful. Thank you. And we have also a tier. It's for electric casuals if you want to sign up for it. Anyways, Luigi, Tony M, Meerkat, Stefan Rev, Wright, Mad Cliff, Elite Eight Showdown was canceled, Anthony Manuel, the Neil Harris, Lil Willie, Carlos, and the real Nick Barron. Like the actual Nick Barron.
He's real.
He's real. And he's Nick and he's Barron like. He's a Barron after all.
Don't call him Barron.
You want to call him Barron from now on? Dan.
What?
Did you play any games? Did you hobby any hobbies?
I didn't play any games. What are you, crazy? recording, we just had holiday break last couple of weeks.
Was your entire house also sick forever?
No, I just got sick at the very end of it. The last 2 days of break, I was sick, which was really frustrating.
Yep.
Because it was like, I don't want to go back to work, kind of like Sunday scaries, but after almost 2 weeks off, it's way worse. And then we're actually together at our friend Chad's house playing Magic. And then I was like, I don't feel good. I went laid on the couch for an hour or so trying to take a nap before we left.
You like crashed.
Oh my God. It was ridiculous. I was sitting there playing Ryan. We did a sealed event with an avatar box for Magic, and we opened up our packs and we made decks. I was playing my first or second game and I was like, I don't feel great. Oh no, because it was like, oh, my hips and knees ache, and it's like, that's, that's gonna be a fever. And it was a rough night after I got home, like just not sleeping and just tossing and turning, uncomfortable. Like when I would drift off, I'd wake back up in a sweat, like, ugh, it was,
yeah, dude,
it was crappy.
So my niece has been essentially throwing up for 4 days with the flu.
That's too many days.
It's too many days. So I was also sick. Our entire house, I think the flu went through our house, and then also COVID went through our house, but I'm not 100% sure because we don't test anything because we're terrible people. But we didn't really see too many people throughout the holiday season, which was kind of nice, actually.
For real.
And I would take that, what happened to us, again, over throwing up for 4 days. You know what I mean?
Growing up is no fun.
No, nobody enjoys that. So also having a super high fever and then like hot, the cold, the hot, the cold, the hot, the cold. Terrible. And I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, it's exhausting. And like that was Saturday night.
But you can't sleep.
No. Yeah, that was Saturday. No, that was Friday night, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a Friday, I think. I don't know what day it is, man.
Oh my God, what? No. I don't know anymore.
It was Saturday. Yeah, it was Saturday.
Yeah, because I had to cancel my WFRP game the next morning because I was like, I know I'm not going to be able to do anything because I'm not going to get any sleep tonight. And then all Sunday, I just like was on the couch just like,
please kill me.
I was like, I got to work tomorrow. This sucks. But then at work on Monday, I just basically told my classes, like, I don't feel good. We were going to do this, but now we're going to do this instead because I don't want to do that anymore because I don't feel good. And they're like, why are you here? And I'm like, do you know how hard it is to take a day off after a vacation?
No, for real.
Like, you got to have, like, a death warrant practically.
Especially in school.
So I just pushed through it, and it worked out in the end. But I have done some hobbying.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I've been working on the stuff I got when I was at Everwinter. Because we're preparing to go to a tournament at time of recording in 2 days.
Don't jinx it. It's supposed to happen.
I'm just saying. I'm just letting the audience know.
Yeah.
That's the plan. So I was kind of waffling between Chaos or Skaven. Because I got those gutter runners that kind of galvanized me to do Skaven. And I got the Doom Wheel painted when I was home. My son was sick one day before his last day before break.
Yeah.
And I was home with him and I painted the Doom Wheel in like a day, which was awesome. So I've been working on a couple characters for Chaos, Warriors of Chaos, and that chariot that I got at Everwinter. Just like little bits here and there, and really been working on these gutter runners. I've got 20 mostly done. I just got the basing material on them today. I just got to pick out a couple more things to get rid of some of the primer, like dark brown for leather straps and like bronze for like sword handles and stuff.
Sure.
Little things like that. And there'll be 20 of them will be done, which is nice.
And they're the old ones with the big meaty fist hands, right?
Oh my God. Their hands and feet are so big.
So big.
What's even better is I got some of the models from, the later Skaven, Age of Sigmar Underworlds warband, because they make perfect, like, one of them is going to be my master assassin, and then a couple of them are just in the units, and one of them is like a champion in a gutter runner unit, and they look pretty cool. It's just crazy how much smaller their hands and feet are.
Dude, I don't know what they were doing back in the day, but they were doing it right. They're so goofy.
I love how goofy they are. The other ones look so out of place, but like, I don't care. I like them also for different reasons.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I like both of them because the rule of cool on the new stuff is so dope.
Why not both?
¿Por qué no los dos? So what they should do is just come out with the new stuff and have options for huge hands and feet. Like, if you want to swap these over, you can do the thing.
That sounds great.
So I have done, way too much of everything else in life as usual, between the Magic, stuff and the Minecraft stuff. I have been doing zero hobby for minis, which is, you know, real surprising.
What?
I know. Really strange.
I know. We've fallen into Magic.
Real hard. Yep.
Like, oh my God. I feel like that's all I think about lately is like making decks and whatnot.
Did you see the thing that I sent you earlier about like the sea monster deck? It's going to be super fun. Anyways, you and I can talk about that later.
That does sound really cool.
It's so cool. It's going to be so much fun. I have so much. It started out with just octopodes. And then I was like, no, I like krakens too. They're like octopodes. Oh, and then I was like, I mean, leviathans and sea serpents are essentially just octopodes without feet. So that'll be totally fine.
I just sent you a picture of the newer Skaven that are mixed in with my gunner runners.
Oh my God. Yes. Those are so awesome.
So the one that's like leaping out of a like plume of smoke with the punched Wolverine claws in one hand and a big sword in the other, that's going to be the Master Assassin.
Yeah, naturally.
I like the guy in the front on the big pipe with a big old like weeping blade sword, but like the big pipe and stuff is just too out of place with the rest of the army.
Sure. Yeah.
And like, because it's all sculpted on and like half the feet are attached to the pipes and stuff. So it's just, it'd be a lot of work to change that to fit the army better.
So you know what you could do?
What?
You could buy like 40 of these and you see that little rat on the one dude with the net? Then you could make giant rat swarms.
Shut up. Oh, that's ridiculous. And I love that. That's so Skaven way to do it, though, for real. Oh, that's
I don't need you. Just that one.
Or just that little one. But no, it's pretty great. I'm excited. We'll be talking about our lists that we will be bringing to this event after we finish up talking about the Raising of Westerland.
Yeah. I think the only thing we have left to talk about is the magic items. I'm pretty sure that's where we left off.
Yeah, we talked about a couple of them. I don't remember which ones now, and I didn't go back and listen to it. So
We're the best at this job.
We're so good at this. There's definitely one I want to talk about. I think we talked a little bit about the Excalibur of this book. If you want to talk about the Cackling Blade, you might as well go over them again.
I mean, I laugh about it. Yeah, 65 points. We got strength plus one. What is that, AP one?
Mm-hmm.
Extra attacks plus D6, and it's magic, of course. If a natural six is rolled for the extra attacks, the wielder of the Cackling Blade immediately loses a single wound. I don't care. I'll take a wound for six extra attacks.
Right?
That's so good.
It's especially because crazy.
All the other ones that are like this are like, if you roll a six, you die immediately and your son dies too. Like, you know what I mean?
And I think we mentioned it last time. There are other items in here that you can synergize with that. You can get even more attacks.
Because why not?
The next one here is the Meteor Hammer, which I just want to take because it sounds awesome.
Right. Absolutely.
It says, no matter who wields this mighty hammer, their blows will land with the force of a meteor plummeting from the heavens.
Dope.
Like, what do we got? Chocobos here with Choco Meteor? So this is combat weapon. Strength is strength. Even though it's force of a meteor. AP 3.
Uh-huh.
Magical attacks requires two hands and always wounds on a 3+, regardless of the target's toughness.
Which is dope. I like that. Reminds me of like, Slayers, but better.
I don't know. 50 points for AP 3.
Meh.
Like, I feel like you might as well pay like the 6 points or whatever for a great weapon and have more strength. And you're probably wounding on twos anyway for one less AP and way fewer points.
Yeah, but Dan, it doesn't strike last, though.
That is nice. But
the thing about it is I don't ever have to worry about that because my initiative's always two.
Well, if you're playing your dwarves or if you're playing your Slaanesh, then your initiative is 8,000 and
it's
you still
only,
don't have to worry about it.
It's only 7,000. Thank you very much.
Yeah, whatever. What about the Hellforged Axe?
What about it? Oh, you
tell
want
me
to
about
read
it?
It. Oh, it's also 30 points, which is different from 50 points. I know how to read.
It's also 30 points and the other one wasn't.
It's going to be great. We're doing great here. Strength plus one, AP one, armor bane three.
Jeez.
Flaming attacks.
Garbage.
Yeah. 30 points. Armor bane three is cool, but you know, you're not going to roll that many sixes on three attacks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I would never take this over the Sword of Might, which is like the same thing for less and not
what
flaming attacks, which are just worse.
Right.
Almost
what about
always.
The Sword of Being Sad though, Dan?
I think we talked about this one a little bit last time because it's so funny. The Sword of Sorrow, though it possesses no special properties when wielded in combat, it's said that a gesture with the Sword of Sorrow can pierce an enemy's heart from afar. For 30 points, you can be OG Link and shoot your sword across the battlefield. This is a ranged attack with range 30 inches, strength 5, AP 1, armor bane 2, magical attacks, and multiple wounds 2.
So, it's cool. The nice thing about it is no ward or regen saves are permitted against it as well, which is pretty massive.
Oh, yeah. I probably should have read the rest of that.
You know what I mean?
I thought the note was just, oh, this can't be used in combat.
So,
it's a weapon, even though it's a sword.
I mean, multiple wounds, too, only AP one, but if you get lucky with the 1/6, I guess, I don't know. That's cool.
It's not, I don't think it's bad.
No, it's gimmicky enough for me to want to try it.
Absolutely. I want to try it. 30 points seems okay. It's basically like a bolt thrower.
That doesn't go through ranks.
Yeah. Or like if you're shooting something with multiple wounds, it's like a bolt thrower with -1 strength. I guess less AP as well. But it's not, I don't know. I don't think it's bad. Like you said, I'd try it. 2 out of 4 ain't bad for magic weapons in this game, realistically. Like, Cackling Blade, I think, is actually good. But I feel like every magic weapon I compare to the Sword of Might for 20 points to get +1 strength, -1 AP.
Yeah.
It's just so good. Just easy, good stuff there.
I don't know. It can't be Fireball. You know what I mean? Like,
right, exactly.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Give me something that's simple and good.
Listen, I want to fly on shields, though.
All right. So, yeah, we got 2 new magic armors here. You want to talk about the levitating a shield?
So this shield levitates for 25 points.
That's all you get.
Done. That's the rules. Literally. It says this shield levitates. It's pretty crazy. I don't know why they would put that in there. Anyways, models whose troop type is infantry, levitating shield is a shield. Huh. In addition, the bear may use it alongside a weapon with the requires 2-hand special rule during combat. So essentially, you go over the like triple green shell and they're like floating around you. That's what it is.
I think we talked about this one a little bit last time because I was going to make the same joke about how this would be so great with dwarves if they could take regular magic weapons.
We don't need regular magic weapons. We have runic weapons, which are better.
Right.
Which is why I don't ever take runic weapons on my lord and just give him a whole bunch of armor and crap.
Yeah, because he doesn't need to kill things. He just doesn't die. Point style is a big deal, though. I like this. I just wish it was like 10 points. 25 seems like way too much.
25 points for a shield that you can take with a great weapon, Dan.
+1 armor for 25 points? That seems...
That's a whole 25 points of +1 armor, Dan.
That's too much, I think.
It's too many points?
Most shields are like 2 points. Why am I paying 12 times that?
Because you can take it with 2-handed weapons, Dan.
I'm aware. I don't think it's worth it. Again, I think it's gimmicky and fun enough that I would try it. And sure. I love the modeling potential.
Oh my god, yes.
I want to see somebody model this shield, like literally somehow suspended around their model in some way. I think that would be awesome.
I have an idea.
Just right out of the book, point value, I think that's a bit much for just a shield.
I have an idea.
Okay. I'll allow it.
So it's on an ogre who has like this massive great weapon. But they just affixed the shield to the top of the great weapon.
And they just swing it around and block with their great weapon.
Yeah. But it's like a normal human sized shield. They're like, no, it works.
It's a magic.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, let's talk about potentials. Unfortunately, this is like 80 points, but the duelist blades, you know, you get an extra 2 attacks, AP -1, and you also get your shield. Is that worth it? Who knows? Right,
or you just take the Cackling Blade for D6 more attacks and the basic shield for 2 points.
The Headsman's Axe requires 2 hands, but it has Killing Blow, Strength +1, AP 1.
I think that's one of the few places where it could potentially be. How many points is that? 60?
It's 45, so you're up to 70.
Okay, so we're at 70 points on +1 armor and Killing Blow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it could be good. I think the best place for it is going to be with army-specific items.
Yeah, like your great weapon. That costs 6 points.
Like, that's a great weapon. Yeah, I guess so. I'm a little disappointed by that one just because of the point cost. Otherwise, I think the idea is really cool and adds variety. The next one here is the Trailblazer's Hauberk. Why was I having trouble with the first word there? For 20 points, models who choose
type.
Jeez, I can't talk.
It's not a halberk. It's a hauberk.
That's what I said. What I say?
I'm the one drinking gin. What's happening here?
What did I say? Trailblazers, it's hauberk?
It's hauberk. You said halberk.
Well, H-A-U. I said how, you know?
No.
Trailblazers hauberk. Troop type infantry only. Suit of heavy armor, which is good in most armies, other than like Chaos or Beastmen that get access to full plate easily, or Empire or High Elves. Dwarves. Okay, there's a lot. heavy armor, but it gives you move through cover and scout, which is kind of cool. Scout piece is
dope.
Yeah. I like the idea of kind of combining this with the Sword of Sorrow, potentially. Scouting with that sword sounds kind of cool. Trying to take out, you know, plink wounds off of something, doing multiple wounds too, seems kind of neat. I feel like move through cover is often overpriced.
I think move through cover is overpriced because people are afraid to put the proper terrain on the board.
I could see that. Yeah, you just don't see enough stuff to make move through cover worth it.
Correct.
But I said at the same time, it's 1 inch, you know, it's not.
Listen, 1 inch can mean a lot to certain people.
I mean, that is a third of the dwarves' movement. So
yeah, that's what literally what I'm trying to say. You know, happy I was about Bugman carts.
This would be kind of, no, again, dwarves can't take it, so never mind.
Oh, you can't take it.
I was going to say, I'm the dwarf with the crazy crossbow that hits like 18 times and like ignores armor and whatnot. But if he's scouting too, I don't know if he can do that already.
Yeah. So if you want a taste of what it is to be a dwarf with like mediocre guns and you can move through cover, then you can take this.
Whee! All right. We got two talismans. What's going on with the icon of fortitude?
Well, it's 35 points, first of all. Secondly, it's infantry or cavalry only. Cavalry.
Which is good. That's a really good thing.
The model's immune to multiple wounds X. If the bear is wounded by an attack that does that, they just suffer a single wound. Again, how does it feel to be a dwarf?
Right. thank goodness you can't put this on big monsters like that. They were, you know, thinking with the brains this time, which was nice. 35, again, it kind of seems like a lot, but at the same time, if you're like a hero level character that only has two wounds and you get hit by the Sword of Sorrow from range, you're just dead. But you're like, no, I got fortitudinous with this icon and I'm not dead yet. I'm only half dead.
I'm not dead yet. I feel fine. I want to go for a walk.
Again, I would try this in certain situations. This isn't like I'm not going to put this in every army, but I would try this.
There's got to be certain places where I don't know. I wanted to say ogres again, but they can't take Mournfang as mounts, which is stupid.
I still don't understand that. I never will.
Could you imagine a tyrant on a Mournfang? That would be so busted. Awesome. That would be so busted.
How's that worse than a tyrant on a Stonehorn?
Listen, just because I... Fair.
I mean, I think the only argument you can make is that he can join a unit. Argument. Some arguments you could make is that that way he can join a unit like of Mournfangs. He's not a large target. He's not monstrous. You know, he's monstrous cavalry instead.
Yeah.
Which has a, I'm trying to think of any like benefits to it. If anything, it actually makes that makes him a little bit weaker because he could be killing blowed.
Ooh, Dan. What? Ooh, Dan.
That's me.
Tyrants, but they get Rhinox.
Yeah.
I want that.
Everybody's wanted that forever. And then they gave us they just made up something else and gave us Mournfang, which are fine. But I was like, but these aren't Rhinox.
I don't think they had the Forge World acquisition before they made Mournfangs, but I can't remember the timeline.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. Mournfangs are still cool.
Very cool. Six of them. I want to put a tyrant on it. G Dubs. Hey,
yes,
John.
Please.
John Games Workshop. Listen up.
John Ogre Kingdoms. The next
Matt Ward, wasn't it?
Probably. The next talisman here is the Ironhide Talisman. So another defensive one, which most talismans are really, for 30 points this time, 5 points less than the Icon of Fortitude. It is said that the one who bears this powerful heirloom can endure even the most telling blows, which already sounds like the first one, but in this case, you can only be infantry, no cavalry at all, and any enemy model that makes a successful roll to hit against the bearer of the Ironhide Talisman during the shooting phase or combat phase must reroll any to wound of a natural 6.
Cool.
Note that this magic item does not work against attacks that hit automatically.
Duh.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good. You can totally combine that with the Bedazzling Helm to be like, oh, you're minus one to hit and rerolling sixes. I'm living forever.
Yeah, because this is natural six. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Kind of nice.
And it's infantry only, so, which is a little rough, but...
But again, I like that you can't put it on giant monsters.
I'm just thinking like that.
To hit them would be gross, but...
Like a sorceress on a Pegasus, something like that, you wouldn't be able to do this with, which I'm okay with.
I feel like cavalry should be okay, but whatever. It's not, so...
Hey!
Hi.
There's a banner, and it's...
four banners.
And it's about the Steadfast people, and it's 50 points. It's called the Banner of the Steadfast. I don't know if you've heard of it. Woven into the bright fabric of this banner is a scene of unimaginable gallantry.
Unimaginable.
Unimaginable. It's so good, you can't even explain it.
Unimaginable.
A scene that serves to inspire those... Oh, we're explaining it. Who fight the shadow to hold their ground no matter the odds. Models whose troop type is infantry only. We're big fans of infantry in this book, apparently. Sure. Should a unit carry the banner of the Steadfast belong to the losing side of combat, it can fall back in good order, even if the unit strength of the winning side... is more than twice that of its own side. So this makes you not run away. Pretty cool.
Pretty great.
It's real great. 50 points.
I hate to say it, but I feel like you're going to see that in a lot of Blood Knight units.
Yeah. Oh, no. Infantry. Infantry only.
Thank you. Yes.
Yep.
Never mind. Not them.
You didn't actually mean that, is what you said. Like, it would be good that Blood Knights can't take it.
Yes. Absolutely. Because, I mean... You might be able to beat them with combat res if they don't kill you too bad at first. but I could definitely see this as really good in smaller elite units that might start with fewer models anyway, like ogres, because they're infantry, right? Monstrous infantry are still infantry. Or things like Knights of the Realm on foot or Empire Greatswords.
Oh my gosh, this on Iron Guts?
I guess Greatswords are orcs. Well, it's not the same thing as Stubborn.
Right.
It's like old like Steadfast, that. But playable.
Not unbelievably broken.
Oh, I like it on Minotaurs, too.
No, I don't like this anymore. Yeah, because this just makes it Stubborn, but all the time.
Well, no, just you, even if you count as... Not really, because it's if you lose and you're more than double outnumbered...
Right, and Stubborn is just you don't take a break test. You just fall back in good order.
I see. Okay.
Right. So this just makes it so even if you do fail the break test, you fall back in good order.
That's real nice. Yeah, I like that one. 50 points, it seems like a bit much at first, but it's like it's going to save your unit from breaking and fleeing and likely getting run down. So
yeah,
it would probably pay for itself.
Wish we had this in Dwarves. Totem of Wrath, what's that up to?
Oh my god, this is, I think, the best part of this entire book. I think this is the best new item. For 50 points, I think it's borderline a steal. This is going to be in every army that can take it. Cruel runes etched into the surface of this icon tremble with power, causing those around it to succumb to an animalistic ferocity.
Succumb.
During a turn in which it charged, models within a unit carrying the Totem of Wrath improve their armor-piercing characteristics of their weapons by one.
Gross.
And may reroll any rolls to wound of a natural one.
Gross.
And there's no limitations. You can put this on cavalry.
I don't know, infantry. Blood Knights.
yeah, I think this is fantastic. The fact that it's only when you charge hurts it a little bit, but...
Yeah, could you imagine this on with Frenzy and friggin' flails?
Yeah, Furious Charge and all that too, maybe.
Disgusting.
If you actually get the charge, it's going to be fantastic. So obviously you're going to put it on a unit that you're expecting to get a charge off with. But just AP plus one and rerolling wounds of one? Yes, please.
Yeah, what? Super dope.
Like, this makes your combat unit so much more combat efficient.
And if there's anything I love, it's being efficient in combat.
Yeah. I mean, how often do you have, like, knights with their lances, and you're like, yeah, I got a good amount of hits, and then I rolled a bunch of stupid ones.
You?
And I'm wounding on twos.
Constantly. This happens. Oh. That happens to you all the time.
All the time.
It's incredible how bad you are at rolling to wound.
That's unless they're characters, and then they never hit.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Units never wound, characters never hit. I love this item. I have it in my list for this upcoming event. How about, tell us about the Banner of the Swirling Wind. You're going to love this one.
I actually really do love this one. Any enemy model that shoots at it suffers minus one to hit. 30 points.
Pretty straightforward.
It's real good.
Nice. Again, well, no limitations, just 30 points. So you can put it on a lot of units can take this because they're often 50 points or less.
What I don't like about this is everyone is kind of on the agreement that blitzkill shooting isn't great. So it might not come up a lot, but I think it's decent.
I feel like there's still a fair amount of it out there.
Yeah.
Is it great? No. But is it fun? Yeah. Like, who doesn't like to shoot their opponent before they get in their face?
The next one is silly.
Wolves of the Sea.
The next one is really silly because I envision like a taxidermy deer on a plank.
Yeah, so this is the Monster Hunter's Tapestry is 25 points. Those who have earned the right to fight under this standard have battled some of the old world's most dangerous beasts and lived to tell the tale. I can't stop anybody with this banner. enemy units may not make stomp attacks against a unit carrying this banner. Cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
25 points. Again, I feel like that's a little much, but stomps often are going to be the deciding factor in combats against big monsters, right? How often is it like, oh man, I lost combat. Oh, I forgot my stomps. Now I won combat. So just ignoring that, I think it's cheap enough that you could throw it on, you know, a big important unit that's like maybe even if they are defensive, just to help keep them alive a little bit longer.
Sure.
And then it's like, oh, you got a Stonehorn? All right, I'll fight that because you're not going to get your like D6 plus one stomps or whatever.
Yeah, because that stupid idiot only has like four attacks.
I don't know why ogre are so much on my mind right now.
Because I'm obsessed with them and I'm like manifesting you talking about ogres.
They're so good.
They're so fun. The ogres,
but
big
like
fat boys.
It's one of those that 25 points, some games it's not going to do anything because you might not come up against any stomps. But I think the times that it does get rid of the stomps, it's going to be so worth it.
Yeah.
Because how long? Getting rid of automatic hits? Yes. Okay. That's
right?
Great.
Especially when there's D6 of them. Like, come on. Yeah. Or D6 plus a flat number. Anyways, the next one's weird only because of the name. It's Arch Lightning, and it's not Arc Lightning.
Yeah, it's A-R-C-H.
So lightning. It's the best lightning. It's the Arch Lightning rod. Single use for 40 points. I know Dan hates single use items, but we'll see.
Usually.
During the command subphase of their turn, if they're not engaged in combat, the bearer of the Arch Lightning Rod may attempt to use it by making a leadership test using their own unmodified leadership. If the test is passed until your next start of turn subphase, enemy units cannot use the Fly X special rule.
I mean, if it works, that's so debilitating for a turn to certain units and certain armies. Like, if you know you're going up against you know, an air force of dwarves or Bretonians or something. That's huge. 40 points, and then you have to make a leadership test. I'm not in love with.
Yeah.
I feel like for 40 points and single use,
it should just happen.
It should just happen. Yeah, for that much. Or if it had like a little note in there that if you don't pass the leadership test, it's not like you can try again in another turn, you know?
Yeah,
but it doesn't say that. It's just if it's passed. If it's not passed, it doesn't say anything.
And if this is like the top of the top lightning rods, because that's the Arch Lightning Rod.
Yeah.
Right? It's not an Arc Lightning Rod. It doesn't happen like to multiple things around it. It is the top of the top lightning rod. You should be able to use it either more than once or use it if you failed to use it.
Yeah, I feel like it should be, for 40 points. I think we forgot to mention we're in enchanted items now. This is not a banner. That it should be one or the other, either single use or require the leadership test.
I think single use is good. I don't think grounding every flying unit every turn is balanced for 40 points.
No, I mean, that would have to be like 100 points then if you could just keep using it every turn. Like that's
100 points is tough as 10. Like, let's not go there, you know?
No,
which
I think
is worth that's it on every shield bearer. Anyways, go ahead.
At the same time with this, you know, the prevalence of nasty characters on dragons isn't quite what it used to be, but yeah. Flying is still incredibly powerful in this game. Being able to potentially turn it off for a turn is yeah. worth it to every army. And only one or two armies had something that could do this before. And now virtually everybody has access. And enchanted items are nice because anybody can take an enchanted item.
Yep. Talk to me about my potions.
Okay, so this is the one that you're going to have your cackling blade drinking your potion of fervor. For 30 points, you've got a noxious brew that allows those who risk drinking it a moment of godliness upon the battlefield.
I want to be
single use again. In this case, I'm more okay with this being single use. During the command subphase of their turn, the bearer of the potion of fervor can consume it. No test or anything. Until the end of that turn, the model has plus D3 modifier to its attacks.
Oof.
And then it says, note that a model can only consume a single potion of any type per command phase. Which
it takes.
I didn't realize was a rule, but you can't like have this and a potion of strength at the same time.
Well, you can. You just can't drink them at the same time. It takes a lot of time to like get the wax seal off and take the cork out and all that sort of stuff. You know, it's difficult. But yeah, have this with your big old sword so you can get like, what, an extra 9 attacks?
Right, max? Potentially. It's ridiculous. Up to a maximum 10. From this, I don't know if the extra attack special rule specifies a maximum there. My brain got stuck for a second.
It's not extra attacks. Real quick. It's plus D3 modifier to its attacks characteristic.
Right, if you're combining it with the cackling blade. So let's see, because looking at the extra attack special rule.
Yeah.
It says it's a modifier to its attacks characteristic shown in brackets. If this modifier is returned by a die roll, blah, blah, blah. So that one doesn't. So you could go more than 10 with these two things together if it's the cackling blade that gets you over 10.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But the potion itself can't give you more than 10 attacks.
Well, it wouldn't be able to because most things are like 3 or 4 attacks, right?
Yeah,
maybe 5 or 6, right?
You have to couple it with something else that also gives you extra attacks.
Yeah.
But that's pretty dope. I like this one a lot, you know, as a player that generally likes hitting things, more attacks that's is fair. More better.
I don't know if anybody knows this or if we've talked about it on this podcast, but Dan always picks the Pokemon attack that just does damage.
Those are the only kind of Pokemon attacks.
No. Toxic is a move. And so
it's not an attack. Toxic is okay because it does damage over time. That's all right. I'd rather just what?
Hypnosis, Dream Eater.
No, come on. That takes 2 turns when you could have just used Psychic for 2 turns, and they'd already be dead. Hypnosis has a accuracy of like 70, so it's
no, it's like 55.
Yeah, it's going to miss at least half the time because yeah, those numbers don't make any sense. It'd be accuracy 95 and it misses regularly.
Oh my gosh, dude, for real.
It's not like a percent, so I think it's supposed to be, but that's not how it actually works.
I put Iron Tail on a Taurus recently, which has an accuracy of 80, and I miss 95% of the time. All the time, yeah.
Yeah, it never hit. It's stupid. Those values, unless it's 100, and even then, sometimes it just misses.
Or just if their evasion's
too high.
Yep.
Beclaiming
Orb.
I just want all my attacks that are at least power 90 or 95 and 100% chance to hit.
You're doing it wrong.
What? Not like I play Pokemon competitively. I don't care. I just want to hit them.
Fair enough. I'm going to send you a website later and we're going to make some Pokemon teams and we're going to fight. Anyways,
Everybody has Thunderbolt.
Everybody has Thunderbolt.
It's my favorite.
The 10% chance for paralysis happens every time.
Yeah, Thunderbolt, Flamethrower, Ice Beam. Done.
I'm going to make an all-dragon team. Get ready.
Those are my favorite attacks.
Ice Beam is dope, to be fair.
Ice Beam!
It's so good. Beclaiming Orb, 20 points, single use. The last enchanted item.
What is it called?
Beclaiming Orb.
It's not.
Becoming. It's becoming.
I generally couldn't tell if you said it like that on purpose.
I didn't.
Beclaiming. I'm going to claim this orb as my own.
I need more gin. Becoming orb. Holy moly. 20 points, single use. It's a bounce spell, power level 1. which is interesting. Single use. What?
Single use.
Hex. Casting value of 8+. Range self. Until this, your start of next turn subphase, enemy wizards that are within 15 inches of the caster when attempting to cast a spell must increase the spell's casting value by 2. I love it.
Again, this was actually pretty dope.
20 points? Absolutely.
Being able to do this more than once in a game, it would be so debilitating. It's like correct. Drain magic, but...
Oh, it's like that stupid high elf spell.
Casting magic is already difficult now.
Oh, it's so hard 1.5.
increasing it by 2, and then imagine if you've got any MR in your list, like, you just don't bother with magic this turn if you're within 15 inches of this wizard.
Oh, my range for drain magic is 24 inches. Oh,
I'm sorry. It doesn't have to be a wizard because it's enchanted, not arcane.
Correct. You put it on whatever you want.
Whatever you
want. Let's keep
want.
The theme. That ogre tyrant is just like, I got an orb.
I'm going to eat it. And I'm going to walk around me.
I'm going to eat it.
I was thinking back in 8th edition, your favorite character of mine, the high elf noble on a griffin battle standard bearer.
Nope.
Give him this too and just fly up and be like, you can't cast magic. And then you want to charge me? I fly away. Come back now. I love that guy.
No, he was my favorite for sure. I loved him as well. He was great.
All right. We got 3 arcane items here. These are kind of interesting. We have the Staff of Quietude for 35 points. With a gesture, the bearer of the Staff of Quietude calms the winds of magic, causing spells and conjurations to dissipate into the ether. During the command subphase of their turn, which I will always forget, the bearer of the Staff of Quietude can attempt to unleash its power by making a leadership test, and this is on a wizard, because it's an arcane item, so leadership's not as good. If the test is passed, all remains in play spells currently in play are dispelled, including spells cast by friendly models.
That's pretty cool.
Not bad. And it's not once, not single use.
Yeah.
However, you can dispel at any range with this.
However.
Just gone. However.
For 5 points less, you can just reroll your dispel roll.
How?
With the Scroll of Disruption. So it's once per turn, which is not once, like 1 use only. And you can just reroll a dispel roll. I think I'd rather take that.
30 points? Yeah, for real.
For 30 points? The first one's really cool because there have been some times where there has been a remains in play that is just kicking my arse. But at the same time, I don't know, man.
Yeah, reroll dispel is awesome. And then there's also the Tome of Spellcraft, also for 30 points. It's the same thing. Once per turn, the bearer of the Tome of Spellcraft can reroll casting roll.
Yeah, that's super dope, man.
Yeah, those are, I like just the general, like, these are so generic in the best way, if that makes sense. Like, common magic items should be. They just give you a little bonus.
Yep.
And then both the Scroll of Disruption and the Tome of Spellcraft have a little asterisk. Note that when either of these items are used, all dice are rerolled, including any bonus or discarded dice granted by special rules or magic items.
Which is a great little piece to put in there so everybody knows what's going on. But
And we already know that they can't stop. You can't reroll a miscast because that is not. No, that was for the high elf thing that specifically said you could reroll a failed casting roll. So you could. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to reroll a miscast here.
I don't know, man. I just work
here. Or over outmatched in the arts or whatever it is on when you're rolling dispel. It sounds like you could reroll those double ones.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder on that Staff of Quietude, but I'd rather reroll a dispel roll.
Yeah, no,
you know what I mean?
Again, I think it's could have its uses. I think the best part about it is that there's no range to it. Like, you're only
able
to dispel within maximum, usually 24 inches, right? If you're level 3 or 4. There are some things out there that can improve that a little bit, but being able to dispel something on the other side of the table, you know, 4 feet away, could be real nice.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Potentially.
And especially, I mean, there's, especially with Cathay out there, like, some of those wizards are leadership 9 or 10, so.
Yeah, you can boost those up a bit.
Right. So I definitely see its uses, but at the same time, I'm going to reroll my casting roll.
I just like rerolls, though.
Well, a good offense is a great, great defense is great, great, you know, roll good cast is good.
A good offense is all you need, is what they say.
Right. If you just pick the thing that does 95 plus attack, then you're good to go. So here's my plan.
You probably
need
to hit twice and you won.
Yeah. Here's my plan for after the event. And it's not going to work. After the event.
Thinking that far ahead?
I'm thinking, no. I literally thought about this an hour before we started.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say just now.
No. Oh, gosh. No, that's way too soon. I'm not thinking about anything at this point in time. I went through a whole gin.
one whole gin.
One whole gin, and that's more than I've drank since Sweden. So my thought is I wanna try and record an episode while we're driving home from the event.
I was thinking about that too.
But I don't know logistically how that's going to work, because I would love to get like thoughts and ideas as we're driving home, because it was phenomenal when we were driving home from Brooks's event, and maybe capturing that same essence would be fantastic. And I can't wait to eat our words with some of these magic items. Like, you know, this one's all right, whatever. And then be like, dude, that stupid thing that shut down all my remains of plays was the worst. You know what I mean?
Right. Which one did we give the most crap to? Levitating shield, maybe?
Yeah, right.
He just kept saving everything because that stupid floating shield.
I can't wait, dude. That'll be good. It's going to be incredible.
No promises, but I was thinking about that too. If we had figured out a quick way to record it, I mean, the audio quality would obviously be worse than usual, but I think people would like the raw, just nonsense of us in the car.
And full disclosure, there's probably going to be some bad words in it. So just, you know, get over it. I have a sailor's mouth when I'm tired and have gin. So it's just, you know, be warned. But we'll get we'll bridge cross when get to it. Dan, speaking of bridges and crossings, what do you got for Skaven? I'm dying to know.
So, yeah, I plan on bringing Skaven. I'm pretty excited about it because I call this list a sneaky sneaky. Because with all those new gutter runners, I was going to run all 30 of them, not in one unit, but realizing how different the Renegade rules are, where our local group here has kind of adopted the Renegade rules pack by Square Based podcast, which has done a lot of like kind of necessary, mostly upgrades to the legacy factions. I don't think they really went too overboard. There are a couple things that are like, well, that might be a little much, but whatever. Mm. It makes Skaven playable.
Yeah.
pretty much. So I'm starting with a Skaven Warlord. With just a hand weapon, heavy armor, shield. He's the general, of course, and he's got the bedazzling helm. So -1 to hit him and +1 armor. And then he's got the warpstone amulet, which gives him a 4+ ward save against non-magical stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so he's just built to be defensive. He's a Skaven Warlord. He's okay in combat, but he's just strength 4, AP 1, because he's got warpstone weapons. I didn't do anything special with his weapons. Actually, I think I have the points. I do, just. I'm going to give him a halberd as well, just in case I feel like doing that.
Hmm.
Otherwise, he'll probably be either, you know, Verminous Valor to the back, not taking challenges, or if I have to, he's going to be full defense.
Sure.
Let me think. Heavy armor, shield is 4+ plus parry is 3+. Can I make it 2+ with the bedazzling helm? That's okay on infantry, right?
I think so.
I forget how that worked in the
FAQ. Sure, we're not. I say it's all right, so it's all
right. Right? And then a 4+ ward save is real nice. If they have a magic weapon, then I don't get that at all. But you're -1 to hit them. And Skaven had pretty decent weapon skills, so chances of hitting on 4s is good. His weapon skill 6, so...
Yeah.
Most characters are going to be hitting on 4s, but then 5s. So he should be able to survive pretty well. With him, he's got his ever-trustworthy Warlock Engineer with a pistol that never explodes. he's level 1. He's got the Warp Condenser, and he's got Battle Magic, so maybe I'll have Fireball and Warp Lightning.
Ooh.
and the Warp Condenser, for those that don't know, increases his dispel range by 3. So he's got a 21-inch dispel range. And whenever he's attempting to cast a magic missile, like the aforementioned Warp Lightning, he gets +1 to the casting roll. And finally, should they miscast a spell, the bearer of the Warp Condenser can re-roll the result on the miscast table.
Nice.
Not too concerned about that because the miscast table is not that bad. I just want mostly I want the +1 to cast Warp Lightning.
And that one time you get like everybody dies around you, you can just reroll it. And that's an added bonus.
That'll be nice because he absolutely will miscast at some point. He's a Skaven. Come on. I think he also, because he also comes with D3 Warp tokens. So
yeah.
Nom, 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 nom. And then practically breaking my own rule, I have a Skaven Chieftain with just hand weapon, heavy armor, shield, and he's a BSB.
There you go.
Which I don't normally take, but I feel like Skaven need it more than most army.
Yeah, fair.
And with Verminous Valor, I can decline a challenge, run in the back, and still use my BSB.
Mm.
So, pretty sweet. And he's only 75 points.
That's dirt cheap. Holy moly. That is dirt cheap.
Right. And then to back it all up, to really kill some things, I have a Master Assassin hidden away in one of my units. He's an assassin, so he doesn't have any options. He just comes with 2-hand weapons, 2 throwing weapons. And the only item I gave him was the Paymaster's coin. So one turn, he can re-roll rolls to hit.
Nice.
Because I never hit.
True. Especially with characters, yeah.
His weapon skill 8. He's going to be hitting on 3s all the time.
Nope.
So I'm going to reroll those 1s and 2s into more 1s and 2s and get real mad about it.
It's so sad because it's true.
Right. So I was really debating whether to take a Greaseer and a Screaming Bell or not. But with the Renegade rules, you can only take Storm Vermin as core if you have a Warlord.
Mm.
So I was like, you know what? I really want Storm Vermin and core to make room for other things. So we're not going to go with a Greaseer this time. So my core is 20 Storm Vermin with shields, full command, of course. They have a Doom Flayer weapon team, and they're the ones with the Totem of Wrath. So if they charge AP +1 and reroll ones to wound with their halberds.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So this is kind of a hammer unit, right? The first time. These guys should be doing some damage, I hope. They're 345 points with the Doom Flayer, so hopefully they do damage. And with the Renegade rules, weapon teams are just regular detachments now, which makes so much more sense. So my Doom Flayer is just going to be chugging along with them and giving some impact hits and whatnot. I love that thing.
Hell yeah.
The rest of my core is just another unit, 24 clan rats, full command, spears, and a warp fire thrower for their weapon team, because you got to have more weapon teams.
Yeah.
And I realized yesterday, unless there's something I totally missed, I was reading through rules, trying to make sure I understand how things work going into this event. I always thought warp fire throwers were move or shoot. They don't have that rule.
Really?
Yeah, they just say they fire like if a fire thrower, which the fire thrower entry has move or shoot, but the Skaven one, the warp fire thrower, does not. It has cumbersome, so you can't stand and shoot. It's got column of fire, but doesn't have move or shoot. So I was like, oh, I think I've been doing this very wrong. And that's way better. If I can move and then shoot fire at you, okay.
Yeah, for real. That's way
that
better.
Might actually make it worth 75 points. Let's see. It's got column of fire, cumbersome, and flaming attacks. And it says, no, this weapon shoots like a fire thrower using the column of fire special rule and the black powder misfire table. Any unit that suffers one or more unsaved wounds from this weapon must make a panic test, blah, blah, blah. But it's got like its own profile that does not include move or shoot like the poison wind mortar does.
I don't know, that sounds like it doesn't have move or shoot to me.
So I'm pretty sure I can move them 5 inches and still shoot it. I can't march, but
sure,
still way better than I thought. So that's it for core, just 2 blocks. Special, I've got 10 poison wind globeteers because I think they're great. They got their weapons are move and shoot and quick shot.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, the only penalty they're taking is range.
Right.
But I like to get, last time I used them, I got real close to a unit, so they weren't even worried about that. But they're like movement six skirmishers, movement five skirmishers, so they don't really care. They can march up 10 skirmishers right next to your unit and then throw all their globes at you.
And they do D3 hits on every successful hit, right?
And then they've got the poisoned wind, so they always wound on... Poison wind. That's the rule I want. Yeah, six up is always a success, even if the toughness is too high. Then normally wouldn't be able to wound it. But the big thing is no armor saves.
Right. Yep.
Just completely ignores armor because it's poison gas.
So gassy.
And then along with the Globadiers, there's two units of gutter runners. Both.
Oh, real quick. Anybody out there in the Warhammer community, do you know how to negate the poison gas issues? Let me know in the Discord. Join our Discord and let me know. Because there's a way to negate it. Go ahead, Dan.
Right.
Dan, do you know how to negate it?
Wear a gas mask?
I'll talk to you after the show.
I'm scared now. I got two units of 10 gutter runners with throwing. They have two hand weapons and throwing weapons and then poisoned attacks. I see. He just messaged me the answer. Skaven do that a lot. Poisoned attacks, which I loathe the change to poisoned attacks, but here I think they could make use of it with just a bucket load of attacks they're throwing at you. And the weapon skill 4, ballistic skill 4, so they got a good chance of hitting fairly often. I thought they may have been weapon skill 5, but still. A lot of attacks, all poison. Yep. They do have scout, which is real nice. They got a ton of special rules. They're evasive, feigned flight, fire and flee, move through cover, scout, scurry away, and skirmishers.
So many things.
Skirmishers and scouts are the ones I'm most interested in. So I'm excited to try those guys out. And then in rare, we got a Hellpit Abomination.
Ew.
Which the Renegade pack makes way better. They up it to toughness 6 instead of 5, which it needs.
Yep.
Because it only has a 5 up regen save. That's the only save it has at all. And they gave it impact hits.
Which it needs. I mean, it's a giant wall of flesh.
Yeah, because it had stomp, but they also gave it impact, unless I'm thinking the other way around. Either way, they gave it some automatic hits.
You're correct. Yep. Impact hits D3 plus 1.
Yep. Which is real nice. And then I've got a warp fire or a warp lightning cannon and the doom wheel.
I don't want to face you. This is dumb.
So just a whole bunch of craziness with some Fans things Cryer that might went be nuts. Effective. So the Doom Wheel is one that I'm so glad I finally got it painted because I've had it for 15 years or whatever, and it's
just
never gotten around to really fielding it because I didn't like to field it unpainted. Now that it's ready to go, we're getting that thing on the table and it's going to zoom around and zap stuff and run into them. I can't wait to, be 4 inches away from something and roll 3 ones for its movement and just sit in front of there.
Correct. Absolutely.
But random movement, that's how it works. I don't plan on winning a tournament or anything. I'm playing Skaven, so I'm hoping to just have a great time.
Yeah.
Well, like I said,
I
think they're objectively better than they were.
The Renegade certainly helps.
Update. So I don't know. Going into an event like this, my hope is always to win at least one game.
Yeah. Yep.
Or just not lose all of them. But you're taking something a little bit not different for you, but maybe different for an event.
This might be different for people who go to these tournaments because you guys know me. I like to go fast. I like going real fast, which is why I play dwarves. So I'm playing Slaanesh Demons instead. and we're 2,000 points on the nose, which I would like to point out is awesome. And we're going to start out with our Demonic Herald of Slaanesh, because you kind of need a BSB in Slaanesh, or in Demons, right? Got to have a Herald. And, using the Renegade pack, it really helps us out because we constantly have our 5-up Demon save, which is just awesome.
Necessary.
Extremely, extremely necessary. Changes Demonic instability a little bit, and it gives Demon Princess 5-up regen, which is cool. Makes greater demons close order, which is cool. And then changes a couple things, which we'll get to in a second. So the Renegade pack is super dope. But anyways, we have a pretty much unupgraded Demonic Herald of Slaanesh. They're just a BSB, right?
I was laughing a little bit at the Greater Demons now getting Close Order.
Yeah.
That then the 1.5 update kind of made it like doesn't matter now because you have to
correct
10 now.
What can you do, right? Demon
nothing,
Prince.
That's what.
You can do nothing. Demon Prince, a heavy armor, fly, is a level 3 wizard, and then Demonology, as well as many arms, so we'll get an extra attack. Demonology
attacks.
Is super fun in a Demon Prince because you can get like 37 attacks at strength 6. It's awesome.
37?
37.
With the Cackling Blade.
Count it, Dan. 37. No potions or nothing
two,
needed.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And then my general is obviously Miss Lady herself, the Keeper of Secrets, who is a level 4 illusion with many arms, and she is disgusting. I love her so much. She's got 7 attacks at weapon skill 7, strength 6. They always strikes first, and then she also has stomps and illusion. Hopefully you get the doppeldonger, so she gets 2d6 extra attacks. I love her so
why
much.
Why are you going like Canadian?
Though, you know, they have these 6 extra attacks, don't you know?
Minnesotan.
Minnesota, I like a small soda with my food. Seekers, we've got 2 units of 5 that have full command just for points. I could probably add just more Demonettes, and I might do that instead. But anyways. So, yeah, they've got just full command. I'll probably swap some of that out with some more Demonettes. Then we have a unit of 20 Demonettes, full command, and then a Rapturous Standard. And the Rapturous Standard's fun because if anybody charges me, they make a disordered charge, you know, because I need the extra initiative boost.
Yeah.
And then we have a Seeker Chariot, which the Renegades list makes Seeker Chariots and Hellflayers have AP1 on their impact hits, which is kind of makes sense. Okay. And they're giant swirling blades, right?
Should absolutely have that, yeah.
Should absolutely have that. So it's one Seeker Chariot just because it costs 100 points, a Hellflayer for 145 points, and then a Soul Grinder.
Which
with no upgrades.
Scary. Big monster. Tough. Got good. It's got full plate, right?
I think so. D6 plus 1 stomps.
Armor. Ugh. That's
yeah,
real good.
He's awesome. He's absolutely awesome.
Done work for you in the past.
No, he's only got a heavy armor, but he's like, yeah, he's strength 6, toughness 6, 6 wounds. He's the freaking best. And being a Slaaneshi, he can charge like 6 million inches as well. He's the best.
I can definitely see your stuff kind of catching people off guard with just how far you can charge. It's insane.
Oh my gosh, dude. And that's the thing with this list. Like, I don't want to go first because I want you to make the mistake of moving forward.
At all.
You know what I mean? Like, I want you to move forward and then go, oh, shoot, that was a terrible idea. Because
right?
Now he can charge me easily.
Are you on your deployment line? You're dead. Just supposed to say, no.
That was really funny.
I played against it a few times, and I'm every time I'm still like, oh, that's far. I'm charged now.
I am charged now. Yeah, so these guys, most of them have Swift Stride, right? Which is super great. You can increase your possible charge range by 3 inches, and then you add another D6. And then being a demon of Slaanesh, they increase their maximum possible charge range by 1 inch and then add another 1 inch to their charge pursuit roll.
They get like Swift Stride and then maybe Swift Stride too, because why not?
Then a little bit extra, you know what I mean? Because why not?
A little bit extra.
And I mean, even the Greater Demon has Swift Stride and all of that. So the thing that is a giant monster that has movement 8 is like, hey, by the way, I'm going to come eat your face.
Not my face. I need that.
You don't need that. I'm going to eat it.
Okay, fine.
So it doesn't have a lot that deals with big gribbly monsters. That's kind of the Soul Grinder's job.
I'm the Keeper of Secrets.
Nah, it's only strength 6.
Well, it's got Killing Blow, right? Does it have? It doesn't have Monster Slayer.
I believe you are correct. Give me 1 second. And I'll look up its big old impaling claws with Killing Blow. It is AP2, strikes first, so I could do some stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. The Killing Blow is the nasty part. So, yeah, you do have a rough time with the big monsters.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yep.
But your army is so fast that you could pretty well just evade any giant monsters.
Yeah.
For the most part. And we know they're not as popular as they used to be. I only got one and I can't even really control it.
That's true.
It goes as fast as it feels like.
It goes as, and listen, it doesn't do movement 8 with Swift Stride plus extra 4 inches on your max charge.
It could be movement 8 if it feels like, if I roll that.
Oh, are you talking about the Doom Wheel?
No, I'm talking about the Hellpit Abomination.
Oh.
The monster. They both 3d6 random move.
It does as well?
Yeah, they both. My biggest, most expensive things I don't even really get to control, so.
Oh my God.
If I don't win, it's like, well, it's my, you know, the Clan Mulder clearly implanted faulty directional analysis inside the Hellpit Abomination.
That's so good. You're repping like every clan.
Yeah, except Pestilence, because I don't have them painted yet. I've got a Plague Priest painted, but none of the infantry guys.
No. You have, those are Scryer, aren't they?
What?
The Wind Globeteers.
Yes.
They certainly are. I always think they're Pestilence because they're poison wind globes.
They got those big, crazy backpacks.
That's they very do have Scryer. Big, crazy backpack.
I just can't wait to tell somebody that I'm going to make an avalanche of flesh attack.
I'm upset you're not doing it against me.
Well, you never know. Maybe I will be.
You might.
Okay. Do you want to make a bet?
Sure.
When the, let's assume the Hellpit dies in each of the three games.
Sure. Yeah.
How many times am I going to roll a 6 for too horrible to die and it gets back up with D3 wounds?
Twice.
Whoa.
Yep.
I was going to say none.
I'm being an optimist here, Dan. It's going to happen twice.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to make sure I have at least one base of rat swarm. Because if I roll 4 or 5, just a single rat swarm comes out and is on the table.
It's game changer. 210 point model. Here's a rat swarm.
Rat swarms are actually so great because they have a million attacks. The only problem is they don't count for core because they're swarms. Like they are core, but they don't count for your minimum.
It's no giant booger though. So,
and Vanguard, 5 attacks, 5 wounds each base.
That's stupid. Are you serious? That's so stupid.
Their weapon skill 2, strength 2, toughness 2 with no saves, but
5 attacks.
But and the minimum size is 3, so you have at least 15 wounds.
Oh my God.
I have some bases made up. They're breakable. And a Vanguard and immunopsychology. I need to just get some painted. Movement 6.
Why are this is dumb.
Leadership 4, but they're immune to psychology. Who cares?
Guys, this has been fun talking about stuff until rat swarms came up.
Yeah, I need to grab some and bring them up to my paint table right now. Gotta have one ready for Saturday if I can.
Dan's gonna change his whole list.
Rat swarms.
It's just a swarm of rats. Oh my gosh. Well, listen.
Listen,
ProfessionalCasual.com is where you find all of our stuff. Including Dan's face. I think you can find that on professionalcasual.com. Folks, find it and put the page in the Discord for us.
It's on there a couple times, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Let us know where it is because it's beautiful. Yeah, other socials, podcasts, blogs, merch, everything's on there, including Kapapa, Grim Podcast, Kapapa. Papers List. It's adventure. If you like Old World, guess what? You're going to love Kapapa. It's Old World, but people playing as people inside the Old World. Which is not wrong, Dan, even though that's laughed at me.
Not wrong at all.
There's even a duck, and I don't allow ducks in my stream, so.
Oh, I have to think about that so much. Yes. Thanks.
There is a duck. You think I'm lying. It's true. Twitch.tv/professional casual network, where we do things. Dr. D, I think, is streaming right now.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of on our normal recording time, which is always when he's there.
That's fair. Yeah. So you can find Dr. D doing stuff as well as Ben. And then every now and then we stream things as well. We as in Dan and Tim. And that's super fun. 603-803-3235. If you want to call us, text us, send Tim some feet pics. It's going to be great.
Send us some Skaven pics.
Skaven pics. Send it straight to Tim and he's going to be like, I don't know why people are sending me rats. P.O. Box G, West Oneonta, New York, 13861. If you want to send some Skaven to Dan, you can do that.
Rats.
Rats. Dan loves getting rats in a mailbox.
Who does?
Is there anything I know about Dan? When he opens his mailbox, he's like, man, I wish there were rats in here. Sometimes there are. Sometimes there's not. And then start playing dot games. Look for bad GM Dan, who's the best GM you ever have.
Oh, stop it.
I'm not going to stop ever.
Okay, that's fine.
I love you.
Love you.
I love you more. Anyways, folks, I love you as well. Thanks for being here. Thanks for loving me. And hopefully we get random car ramblings on the way home from this event. It's going to be a blast. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Dan, you got anything you want to say to the peoples?
May your dice ever roll sixes unless you're Skaven rolling a leadership test.
And then you always want to just go to the back. Just go to the back. It's going to be
go
fine
to the back.
Every time.
Just go away.
Don't worry about it. You guys can handle this. All right, love you. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2e actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorp actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.